Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the part two interview with James Ray. We left off in part one asking James about the sweat lodge. What was he possibly thinking that this was a good idea? Why do them? Why not just, have people together for a few days and teach what you want to teach without having these experiential, whether it's fire walks or sweat lodges or anything like that? So James answers that question as we start off part two, as well as talks about life in prison and what happened the days after Sweat Lodge. Here's my interview with James Ray, part two.
When, as an outsider looking in, it says, boy, James, can't you just kind of dial it back a little bit? Do you got to be that extreme with your teachings and your trainings?
Well, you know, a couple things you've said, that's a multi-pronged question and comment that you've run through there. And first of all, the dumbass part, I thought of myself as a dumbass more than one time, particularly with the outcome. There's literally, Sam, not a day that goes by that I don't think about it in some way, shape, or fashion. And I probably will do that for the rest of my days.
Yeah.
There's nothing in my life, and I can only speak for me. When I said this before, people go, oh, no, I don't agree with that. There's things more painful than what you're saying. Well, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for you or for the families or anyone else. I can only speak for me. And in my life, there is nothing that I can imagine more painful, more so the antithesis of everything I ever lived my life for and stood for and taught, focusing on helping people live life at their best, having a full spectrum of life. If you mentioned harmonic wealth and anyone who's read that book, I never was the money guy. Money was part of the equation, but it was only one fifth because, harmonic wealth was financial, relational, mental, physical, spiritual. To digress back to our spirituality, I was constantly saying, you've got to look at the full spectrum and let's live your best life. And you live your best life when you have all five of those pillars firing at optimum levels. And so anyway, to invest your whole life attempting to help people and then have people get hurt.
Yeah.
And what happened was it was devastating. Sam, it still is.
Yeah.
If you'll recall, if you saw the news piece, which you did, and you followed it any amount thereafter, I never said a word. People kept saying to me, well, defend yourself, go out and say this and say that. And I never said anything to tell any story or to defend myself. None of that. Of course, I had to hire a legal team when they went to trial. But I never said anything because for me, and I think this is vitally important as an entrepreneur, because a lot of individuals romanticize that they want to be the CEO of a company.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Sam, if you're the CEO of a company, whether it's BP Oil or Enron or James Ray International, my former company, when something goes sideways, there's one guy at the helm. There's one guy in the crosshairs and you are responsible. you know, and so you don't throw anyone else under the bus or any situation. I mean, at the end of the day, I chose to do that event, you know, and that occurred in three people that I knew and cared about died. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a heavy load to carry.
That's heavy stuff, man.
It's I can't even tell you how heavy it is, because, you know, not only that, Sam, but that event was so infinitesimal by comparison to the entire 5 days previous. It had historically been kind of a graduation experiential exercise. And so let me address one of your other questions. Yeah. About could I have dialed it back? Yes. Yes, and I will tell you this, Sam. There's a lot of people in personal development who do experiential learning.
Yeah.
And you know, there's still people, I won't name names, but there's still people doing sweat lodges in personal development. There's still people doing arrow breaks and rebar bends and fire walks and ropes courses. And I know the value in those things, because it's a way for us to take philosophy and integrate it into action. And therefore it's very transferable, and it's very much a high, if you will, except when it goes incredibly wrong, which mine did. You know, historically people would come out of there and they'd be juiced, because they think, damn, you know, if I did this, then I can do fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Right. And the same is true. I did them all. I did firewalks. I did all those things, you know, and I believe that experiential learning is incredible because of the integration it brings between mind and body. All that being said, Sam, you won't see James Arthur Ray doing experiential learning anymore. And to your point about you don't want me getting legal problems, there's no legal issues. I mean, I served my time, you know, the civil suits are done, you know, it's done, other than it's still something that I am going to live with for the rest of my days.
Yeah. No, that's it. Well, first of all, I appreciate you answering the question. You certainly didn't dodge it, which I appreciate that. And I know the listeners appreciate that, because, you know, I haven't experienced that. Okay. So I've been bankrupt. Listeners have been bankrupt. We've lost loved ones. We haven't been involved with that. So I'm not even going to pretend like, you know, and I always get a kick out of it. I'll pick up on that thought in just 1 second. I want to just hit on one other thing, but I want to also let the listeners know of this particular podcast. James is giving away his newest book. It's called Life Unleashed, A Blueprint for Ultimate Human Performance. You can check it out at jamesray.com/lifeunleashedfree. jamesray.com/lifeunleashedfree. All listeners of the Everyday Saturday podcast get a free copy. Where I was going when we went through what we went through with our daughter last year, and we also lost a son at 20 weeks back in the day, and it's always, I know how
I'm
you
sorry, feel. Man. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Man, it's just, it's stop. Life, though. It's just life.
It is.
You know,
it,
you're
it
talking
is.
About your parents, and that's the circle of life on the other end, you know?
Right.
And I don't know, man. I just get kind of, I'm not even a deep guy. Like, I got 20 college credits. Most of them are gym and health class. It's not like, I'm not like this deep. You're not going to, like, get off this interview and think, damn, that Crowley guy's really got a lot of gray matter. He's really deep, you know? But I just think about life more now. And when people would say, hey, I know how you feel because fill in the blank, that pisses me off. And it shouldn't. I shouldn't let it piss me off. But it's like we all go through life and it means something to us, and it's our experience and how we deal with it. Like, I'm sure the victims' families are dealing with this completely different. There's probably a lot of, you know, emotion there as well, but nobody can go to them or go to you or go to me and say, hey, I know how you feel because I went through XYZ. And it right. just always kinds of stay. I'm sure you get a lot of that, and as you alluded to a little bit there, but what I want to understand also is your first night in prison, when you were just alone with your thoughts, and maybe the first few nights, what were your just kind of your raw emotions? Like, holy cow, where am I? Or how did I get here? Or what were some of the thoughts going through your mind? Like, who's going to, you know, care for my whatever's going on in your personal life? You had to wrap that up as well.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I think probably the most powerful emotion I was experiencing was shock. You know, I had a legal team that consistently told me all the reasons why I would not end up there. Mm-hmm. And there was all the legal precedents and all the case law and all the history and all this and all that. And so I wanted to believe that, Sam. You know, I really wanted to believe it. And I was doing all the visualizing and all, you know, I mean, I had everything that I could possibly have going on. And so I was shocked. I was literally shocked. And then I think, you know, maybe you can appreciate this at some level. Maybe the listeners can, if you're dealing with challenges. I was angry at God.
Yeah.
I really was. I was doing pity party really, really well. I mean, all of this, the shock and the anger at God, you know, it was like, holy shit. You know, I spent my, this is my victim talking, right?
Yeah,
I spent my entire damn life trying to help people and blah, blah, blah. And this is my pay. This is my payday, really, you know, and that fortunately passed. And, you know, at one point it was really, I was in solitary confinement for the vast majority of my first stay there, and it even ended up in the hole right next to death row. I mean, I've got some serious experiences that are actually kind of amazing now that they're over. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want to do it again, but man.
Why were you in solitary confinement?
Well, because of my degree of notoriety, initially I was there because they were afraid somewhat happened to me. And you know, to your question, Sam, when I went in, I was scared shitless.
Yeah.
I really was, because I didn't know anything about prison except what I saw on HBO, you know, and I didn't know if I was going to get raped or stabbed or beaten up. I didn't know if I'd come out alive. I really didn't.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of vitriol, a lot of jeering, you know, everybody as I'm shackled, shuffling across the yard, and I mean, it was really frightening.
Wow.
And so I almost went into mental meltdown, and eventually I had to kind of get a grip on myself. But what I'll remember that's just like, you know, a gong in a stark empty night that happened for me as I sit there doing a pity party, is I reflected back and thought, you know what, James, you were in that lodge. I was in there the whole time. I never left.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, without getting into all the stories, I mean, we really don't know what caused the death. I mean, the guy from Harvard said it was toxicity, the state's argument was it was too hot. You know, we really don't know. And so the what struck me, Sam, was you were in that lodge, and, you know, three people that you know and care about are gone, and you're here. Would you rather be here in this cell, or would you rather be gone? And I had to answer right then, God, I'd rather be here. I'm not done yet. And so that shifted something in me where I started that process, as I mentioned before, saying, okay, you know what, I'm going to make this work for me. And you know what, Sam, here's what my experience is with working with literally hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs from 141 countries around the world I've been blessed to work with, is that we all take hits. Mm-hmm. We do, all of us do. And it's not the amount of hits that you take, it's how long you take to feel sorry for yourself that really determines. I mean, you got hit with your children. I mean, that's a huge hit. And I can't say I understand that either. I don't.
Right.
You know, and it's not about the hit per se, it's how long you take to feel sorry for yourself. And so, you know, fortunately for me, I processed that. I won't say, you know, as I've already admitted, I did feel sorry for myself. I went through every single emotion of anger, rage, you know, betrayal, shock. And then I came through it and finally got my head together and said, okay, I'm going to make this work for me.
Yeah. And then we fast forward to July, and you're released. Where did you go your first day? What were your first few days out of prison like? Did you go back to California? Did you go with family? I mean, where do you begin to start the rest of your life?
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.